This sermon has been in my thought process for the last few weeks. And last night I had a dream. And I had a dream that I was standing before you all preaching this text. And we went for about an hour and 15 minutes. And when I looked at the clock, it was an hour and 15 minutes. And I realized I hadn't read a single verse of the text that I was preaching. It was really strange. I went on a rant for an hour and 15 minutes about the text, and we didn't even read the text. And so I was trying to wrap it up, 19 verses in 5 minutes. Can we do that today? Yes, we can. We most certainly can wrap up chapter 3 in 5 minutes. We're continuing on with the book of Habakkuk. We took last week and we, for obvious reasons, took a break in Habakkuk. But now we're going to finish this little book, Habakkuk. And I look forward to this simply because it sums up everything. And I believe that we can add some valuable application to our lives with this text. So as I say before, my heart is about us learning God's word, learning who God is, learning who we are in this story. But if anything I say is offensive, come to me later. But make sure you come with book, chapter, and verse to discredit if you have anything that I'm saying that you disagree with. I'm more than willing to receive you, and we can have a discussion. But before that, let's pray, and we'll get things going. Heavenly Father, your word is pure, and it's great. I ask in the name of Jesus that you will show us your word today. Give us special revelation into your word. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those of you that need a review that weren't here for the first two messages on the book of Habakkuk, the title of this series is called The Conversation. The story is really simple. Habakkuk is a prophet of God who has a conversation with God. And he is concerned because the nation of Israel is unjust. They mistreat their people, they worship idols, they are 100% against and away from God, and Habakkuk is seeking justice for the nation of Israel for the sin, and he wants forgiveness from this nation, and God's response is that he is going to send the Chaldeans, a group of Babylonians, he's going to send the nation of Babylon to come and take over Israel. This is not in any way, shape, or form what Habakkuk wanted. He did not want God to answer in that way. And we spoke before about how God may give you an answer. He will give you an answer, even if it is an answer that you are not ready for. God will have his justice on evil. He will have his justice on sin. And we finish chapter 1 with Habakkuk asking God, well, these Babylonians are worse than Israel. Why would you execute your judgment on Israel with a more evil nation? We learned in chapter 2, which was 2 weeks ago, we learned in chapter 2 that God will have his justice over sin, not just over the sin of the nation of Israel, not just over sin of the Babylonian nation, but every nation that is against God. Every nation. He will have his justice because he is holy. That's what we reviewed 2 weeks ago. And now we will finish this conversation that Habakkuk has with God. There's a movie that came out some years ago. I will not tell you the name of the movie, but it was a very interesting movie because it is about a planet that is 100 times the size of Earth. It is coming towards Earth, and it is planning, and it, the plan is that this Earth, this planet is going to come and crash and completely destroy Earth. The people don't know it's coming, but our main character does. And she is depressed because it's only a matter of time before this planet crashes into Earth. She is waiting for disaster to strike. If you've been sleeping under a rock in California, you have noticed that we have a lot of rain this year. There has been many times where someone will say to me, it looks like it is going to rain. I've had people tell me at times, LaJuan, matter of fact, I'm not going to say people. My mom will say, LaJuan, you better bring a jacket. It is going to storm. But it's sunny outside. We don't see it. And then you see a couple of clouds. Oh, that must be the storm coming in. And all of a sudden, the sky begins to change. And you know that this storm is coming. One of the storms I remember was Hurricane Katrina, how they knew this Category 4 hurricane was coming. It's coming. Prepare. It is coming. That's just a little illustration for you. Because Habakkuk himself is worried. He is concerned. He is concerned of two things. Number one, the coming of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. He's concerned about that, but he's also concerned about the wrath of God that's coming. It's coming. The distant clouds, he can see it, and he is concerned. So let's begin. Habakkuk 3, beginning in verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to the Sanwinoth. Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. We see that this is a prayer of Habakkuk. And what's really funny is that the Hebrew text context, how it is written in a song form. This text here is actually a song. Habakkuk acknowledges the fact that he has heard what God had to say to him, that God will have his justice over sinful nations, that he will have his justice against the nation that's going after Israel, but he will have it. And Habakkuk is in fear. He is afraid. After Habakkuk makes his complaint to God about why these people are so evil, they shouldn't be attacking Israel because these Babylonians are worse, Habakkuk sits and he waits to hear from God, and he is singing this prayer to him. We know in Psalms 1 that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. The word meditate can be referred to as singing or repeating in your mind. It is not just meditate the way we look at meditation. When we are reading God's word, we should be thinking about it, replaying it in our mind, and if you can, sing it in your mind. Habakkuk is sharing that he is aware of what God's report will be, his justice. He remembers that God will have justice, but it doesn't change the fact that Habakkuk is concerned. It doesn't change the fact that he is afraid. Let's think about this. Even in Habakkuk's fear, he does not ask for deliverance. Do you see that? He does not ask for things to be made easy. He does not ask for his own personal escape. He knows that God will have his justice on sin. But what he asks is, in your wrath, have mercy. Let me ask you a question, you holy people of God. What are you concerned with the most in your life? Are you concerned with your politics? Or are you concerned with God receiving his glory? Are you more concerned with your comfort? Or are you concerned with God having justice? He's going to have it anyway. Whether you're there or not, whether you want him to or not. When the world is falling all around you, times are crazy now. Seems like everything is going this way. We have people yelling about this, people angry about that. No matter where you turn, someone is angry and yelling and arguing about something. Are you more concerned about that? Are you concerned about God receiving his glory? Well, what do you mean by that, Luan? You know that God will execute his justice on sin. He must. He's holy. There's no getting around that. Are you wasting your time ready to argue with people on social media and in marches, argue with people about your position on a certain situation? Or are you concerned about those people coming to Christ? Are you more concerned about winning the argument? We're all guilty of that, I think, in one way or another. I want to win the argument, even if I'm right or wrong. I just want to win the argument. We should be more, are we more concerned about our political worries in the world that's in us right now, or are we concerned about the purity of the body of Christ? This is a question that we must ask ourselves every single day, because we can fall into our own selfish motives every day. Habakkuk is afraid, and there is nothing wrong with a prophet or you being afraid. There is nothing wrong with you having fear of the things that are around you, being concerned about the things that are around you. We see it here. But Habakkuk does something very special in these next series of verses. Verses 3 through 15, I want you to see something here. Now, there's only 19 verses in this chapter. But let's look at 3 through 15. Habakkuk is sitting. Let's look at this picture. He's sitting and he sees the clouds coming. He sees it. This cloud, this storm is going to be devastating. He sees the clouds. He is concerned. But this is what he does. Verse 3. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One of Mount Paran, Selah. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight, and his rays flashing from his hand. And there is the hiding, there is the hiding of his power. Very interesting text. We've just acknowledged the fact that Habakkuk is afraid. What do we see here? We see Habakkuk turning away from his own fear, from his terror, from his concern, and he begins to talk about the greatness of God. His splendor, God's power covers the heavens and the earth, and it is filled with songs of praise. His radiance, his gleam, his brightness is brighter than the sun. His rays, which some people would translate in Hebrew as horns, relates to the power that flashes from God's hand. There is no hiding from his greatness, you see. There's no way in the world that you can hide from the greatness, from the splendor, from the power of God. There is nothing that can separate you from it. Even your small, minute, trivial circumstance. And what I mean by that is even if it costs you your life. God is great regardless. War is about to come to the nation of Israel, and Habakkuk is saying, God, you are great. And those are just in the first two of the verses that we're talking about. Let's continue on. Verse 5. Before him goes pestilence, and plagues come after him. He stood and surveyed the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Yes, the perpetual mountains were shattered. The ancient hills collapsed. His ways are everlasting. When he's talking about plagues and pestilence, you understand that in war, there is plagues and there is pestilence. There is disease, illness. Study your history of wars. We see that God commands all the forces of nature in order to execute his power and his judgment. God is in complete control. This is the whole message of Habakkuk. God is in control. You wanted something deeper? You wanted something more, I don't know, academic? Go ahead, search for it. At the end of it all, God is in control, and Habakkuk right now is acknowledging that. His ways are everlasting. There is no end, there was no beginning to his ways. Verse 7, I saw the tents of Cushim under distress, and the tent curtains in the land of Midian were trembling. Habakkuk is acknowledging the two cities that were destroyed because of sin by God. He recounts God's past dealings with nations. Now, why is that important? It's because for some reason we seem to forget that the God of the Old Testament is, we want to think that it's not the same God of now. You understand that God of the Old Testament is the same God as now, and will execute his judgment. We are fortunate enough to receive his mercy and his grace right now. He will execute execute his judgment. You can sit there and you can say, you could go to Genesis and read about Sodom and Gomorrah and say, oh, Lord, this is the same God that's going to execute his justice, where in Revelations is going to say that there's a bird flying saying, woe to the world. The book of Revelation, you think Sodom and Gomorrah was a big deal. It's nothing compared to the judgment that God will execute on this earth because of sin. Before we go to verse 8, the clouds are getting a little bit closer now to Habakkuk. They're getting a little bit closer. They're getting a little bit closer. It's starting to get close enough to where now the sun is starting to be affected. It's not bright and sunny anymore. It's starting to become a little bit more dim. It's starting to look a little bit overcast. Verse 8, then the Lord raged against the rivers. Or was your anger against the rivers? Or was your rage against the sea that you rode on your horses, on your chariots of salvation? God's power over the oceans, over the waters. He first mentions the rivers. Where do we know that God had power over the rivers? I'll tell you, Exodus chapter 7. You can write this down. When God turned the Nile River into blood, that was his control. Where else did he have control over the rivers? He had control over the Jordan River in Joshua chapter 3, verse 14, where the nation of Israel is crossing the Jordan and God separates the water so they can cross over the Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant. He had controls over the rivers. Well, where does it say he has control over the sea? Go back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, the parting of the Red Sea. Side note. I took a dip in the Red Sea. And I'll never forget it because I thought I was going to die. I jumped in that bad boy, and I was supposed to swim from here to where Willie is. And all of a sudden, I started feeling little sharp little ouches on my legs and on my feet. And it wasn't those little nice things that they, oh, you go to a spa and you stick your feet in and they have all these fish come and they nibble. Y'all ever see that before? Sources of staph infection. They got them at SeaWorld. Okay, I love those things, man. I'd be putting my hand in there and stuff. But these animals were, these fish were nipping at me. And it hurt. It's like, Lord, I thought he was going to take me right there. So much so that my wedding ring fell off because of the salt water. It fell off. And so that ring is somewhere in the Red Sea with the chariots. But we see the parting of the Red Sea. We see God's power over all creation. And it says here he's coming with chariots of salvation. You understand that chariots back then were used as instruments of war. Military movement. God is coming with salvation. So even though there is rage in what God is doing, even though there is justice in what God is doing, even though there is wrath in what God is doing, there is also salvation in what he is doing. It is not all lost. It is not all hopeless, you see. We understand that we are full of sin and in need of a Savior. We are undone. We have no help. We have nothing that can save us. That is the start. That is the tragedy. But then we have salvation. Let's continue on. Habakkuk is giving praise to God. Verse 9, your bow was made bare. The rods of chastisement were sworn. Selah. You cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and quaked. The downpour of water swept by. The deep uttered forth its voice. It lifted high its head. Sun and moon stood in their places. They went away at the light of your arrows, at the radiance of your gleaming spears. He is acknowledging the fact that even creation must obey. We see that in Jonah. We see that creation did obey. God is in control. The sun and the moon have nothing on him. These great cosmos have nothing on him. Habakkuk is sitting there in the midst of his fear, in the midst of his concern, in the midst of his worry, is still glorifying and acknowledging God. Can we do that? Or are we so caught up in our own personal concerns and worries that we can't see nothing else? A long time ago, I had a staph infection that took away my ability to use my legs. And if I could tell you that the pain, I don't know the worst pain that anybody's ever felt. But if you breathed on my legs, it hurt. And it was one night, my mom wasn't there, I was by myself, and I prayed to God to allow me to have enough strength to get to the window so that I can throw myself out of it. God shared something with me that night. I'm not going to tell you what was said because I don't necessarily focus on that. God told me this, and God, if it's not in the Bible, I don't do that. I just say God put it inside of me to feel something. And it's a feeling. It wasn't necessarily words. That he was still there. That's why when I first got here, I said, what y'all see with me right now is an example, a walking example of God's grace and mercy. Because I could not use my legs. I don't think I can use my legs now. Sometimes I'm waiting for the day when I walk up here and I trip and I fall. You guys are going to laugh at me. It's okay. Y'all can laugh at me. Are we praising the Lord when? Are you praising God when times are tough? Are you praising God when there's no end in sight? Are you praising God when it looks like everything around you is falling? Long time ago, again, when I was away, when I was serving, I don't think I've ever shared this story with anyone before. Jamie, if I did, is Jamie here? Jamie's, did she leave? She took off. Okay. Oh, there you are. Okay. I don't think I told anybody this story before, but it was a situation that happened in my past where it was scary and death was a sure thing if you stood up. And all I'm going to say is this. After it became silent, after the heat cooled down a little bit, literally, after it was clear and okay to stand up again, I remember a brother that was next to me standing up and saying, "Oh, Lord." We weren't thinking, "Oh, Lord," when those things were flying by our heads. But the question has to be asked is, when war is all around you, are you still saying, "Oh, Lord"? Are you still acknowledging Him? One guy came up and said to us, "Man, we could have died." And that guy who said, "Oh, Lord," said, "No, God's not going to let me die from this one." Do I believe him? I don't know. I was just an observer. But I remember that for the rest of my life. When war is all around us, the stench of it is all around us. The stench of the politics, the stench of the people yelling, the stench of the people screaming, the stench of religious folks that are just so holy and righteous that they have no time for nobody else. When it's hard to call yourself a believer or don't want to call yourself a Christian because Christians have gotten such a horrible reputation, are you still saying, "Oh, Lord"? Are you trusting in Him? Verse 12, in indignation you march through the earth. In anger you trample the nations. You went forth for the salvation of your people. For the salvation of your anointed, you struck the head, the house of the evil, till I am open from thigh to neck. Selah. Verse 14, you pierce with his own spears the heads of his throngs. They storm and to scatter us. Their exaltation was like those who devour the oppressed in secret. You trampled on the sea with your horses, on the surge of many waters. Once again, Habakkuk is giving praise and acknowledging praise and honor to God with past dealings. This is dealing with the nation of Egypt, how he is dealing with this, how all, there's nothing stopping God, rivers, oceans, sky, distances. There is nothing stopping him from having his justice. Let me tell you something. If you think about something in your life where God has had victory over it and you acknowledge him as victory over it, remind yourself about it. I'm guilty of forgetting. I can sit there and have a pity party for myself and say, "Luan, man, it's just not right. This isn't cool. This isn't." Did you forget, Luan, where you were 20 years ago? Did you forget where you were 10 years ago? Do you remember that there was a time when you didn't know how you were going to pay a $100 light bill? Do you remember? Did you remember when the little person that's in your life right now, this little crazy little girl that runs around and drives me crazy, never thought in a million years would ever be in my life? That I would be thankful if I made it to 30? Has there been a time when God has delivered you from something and you don't know how you got delivered from it? Has he healed you from something and you don't know what you did to be healed from it? Remind yourself about that. About how God has been great in your life. how he has worked with you in your life. And if you can't do that, because you're so negative on what your issue is, then start using the books of the Bible and look how God had his mercy and had his greatness happen. Dealing with sin with Sodom and Gomorrah. Dealing with sin of the whole world with the flood. Having mercy on human beings that were on the ark. The fact that Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins. Remind yourself of what God is doing. And this is what Habakkuk is doing. He is saying, even though I am scared because now the clouds have covered the sun and now it is overcast. And here comes these people that are going to attack us and destroy us and take us. You are still God. And you are still on the throne. He says here that God is going to execute justice with sin by crushing the head of sin. This is in verse 13. Does that sound familiar to you? We see that God has absolute power. Yahweh has absolute power over all forces of history. Let me explain something to you. Nothing is new. What nations today are doing to other nations now, it's been done before. People believing their nation is the perfect one, it's been done before. People taking figures and putting them in Messiah space has been done before. Do you understand that? This is nothing new. Turn on Fox News, turn on CNN, turn on whatever you want to turn on. None of this is new. This has all happened before. And like I said, I don't care where you stand. I don't want this to sound mean. I want you to go and take my DNA. Okay? Every one of you, take my DNA. Take it to the greatest microbiologist. And I want you to find a molecule in my body that cares about where you stand politically. You're not going to find it. But God will have his justice on all nations but one nation. And that one nation is his bride. Well, wait a minute, Luan. My nation is a Christian nation. We are holy and right. Wrong. You are deceived. There's only one nation that will not have judgment. And those are those who are in Christ. Every single nation will receive justice for its sin. We're on verse 16 now. The clouds have covered the sun. It's overcast. Now more clouds are coming and now it's becoming dark. And he can feel the wind blowing of this great storm. Verse 16, what does it say? I heard and my inward parts trembled at the sound of my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones. And in my place, I tremble. Because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Habakkuk now turns from his praising and worshiping of God and acknowledges his own fear. The storm is coming. The Babylonians are coming. They are coming. They are coming. And I am scared. I am afraid. I am shaking because I have to sit here. And just like earlier in chapter 2, where Habakkuk is waiting to hear from the Lord, now he is sitting waiting for these people to come and to attack his nation. What becomes of Habakkuk, we don't know. It's only safe to say that we can assume that if he was not killed in the attack, he lost everything in the attack. He definitely loses his land. He probably loses his family and all of his friends in the massacre, the genocide of these people, the nation of Israel. He is afraid. It's coming. That big planet, like I gave you an example of, it's coming. You can see it in the sky. You can see it move towards you. The storm is coming. It is here. I can feel the winds, and I'm starting to feel the raindrops coming. It's coming. Judgment. It's coming. But what does Habakkuk say? What is his response to his fear? Verse 17, though the fig trees should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olives should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flocks should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord, and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on my high places. For the choir director on my stringed instruments. That last sentence is basically an idea that this is indeed a song. But what does he say here? In a nutshell, Habakkuk says, I'm afraid. I'm scared. This nation is coming. They're going to take us over. I'm going to watch the massacre of my people happen. But I will trust in the Lord. I will trust him. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. What does that mean? Like deer's feet, like horse's feet, strong, stable. And he will walk. Not simply to stand, but to walk in the paths and the ways of God's righteousness. As we are studying the book of Proverbs, we know how many times, and y'all know who come to the Bible study, y'all know how many times we talk about the paths in Proverbs? How many times we need to walk in the paths? He's saying here that even though not only is there war happening, but there's nothing good happening with this situation. No food happening, yielding no fruit, nothing is happening. I will trust in the Lord. Can we do that? Can we do that right now? You're saying yes, but are you really sure? Because the fact of the matter is, I have to ask myself this question. If everything is taken away from me, can I say what Habakkuk is saying right now? Some of you say yes. Be careful. God may say, oh, really? Let me just have your car break down and watch you curse me. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. You get in that car, the Lord is good. You get in that car, the Lord is good. I get in my Ford Fiesta, the one I got to squeeze in to get in and out of. I squeeze in that. there we go. I'm out of breath when I get in that bad boy because I got to squeeze in it. Man, Lord, why? I'm angry with God because I forgot to put gas in it, right? What he is saying here, Habakkuk, in this conversation, God was merciful enough to even talk to Habakkuk. He will talk to us. We may not get an answer that we want. We may get an answer that is hard for us to deal with. But we must remember that even though disaster is all around us, I can't speak for any other nation. I can only speak for the nation in which I live, the nation which I fought for, the nation that I am a member of. I can honestly say that things are getting bad. And they're continuing to get worse. But God will have his glory and will have his justice. And God is aware of his people within this world. You know what's funny? Habakkuk says these things in a very long-winded way. Even though all these things are happening, I will exalt in the Lord, I will trust in him. You know who sounds very familiar to that? When Jesus said, Lord, would you take this cup away from me? But it is not my will, it's your will. We get to see it here in the Old Testament. Is Habakkuk about Jesus? We can make it about the Lord, right? Him having his justice. But we also see here that even though Habakkuk is afraid, Habakkuk is nervous. Would you say that Jesus had anxiety in the garden? I would say so. He was concerned in the garden, right? He had anxiety. He didn't want to have to deal with all these things. Lord, if you could take this cup away from me, but it's not your will. It's not my will, it's your will. Habakkuk is hurting. I'm concerned. If you want to do a historical survey on what happened with Habakkuk afterwards, it was horrible what the Babylonians did to the nation of Israel. But he says, I see it coming. The storm is coming. I see the rain coming, and now I got my... Imagine Habakkuk. I'm giving y'all visuals. Takes his umbrella, he puts it up, but the wind is blowing so hard that it makes the umbrella shoot up, and he's got a hood over his head, and the rain is the storm is coming, and he says, Lord, I will trust and worship in you. Even when these horrors are taking place. That's Habakkuk. Not an answer you wanted, right? Not an answer that we wanted. This is hard to share this with somebody that's a new believer, right? What are you guys supposed to say? You're supposed to say to trust in the Lord. Well, I don't even know the Lord. Okay, well, this is what it means for us. Trials happen. Tribulation happens. Pain happens. We have to trust in him. And sometimes that's not something that we want to deal with, right? We want an answer. We want a solution. And we want it now. We don't want it later. We want it now. But we must say, you know what? Okay. Even though the world is falling apart, my body is being destroyed from the inside out with all of these diseases and illnesses. Lord, I trust in you. That if I lose my ability to speech, let me still praise and worship you. If I lose my ability to see, please let me see you. If I lose my ability to walk, talk, let me worship you. That's the lesson that we get to learn with Habakkuk. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay for you to be afraid. It's okay for you to express your concern to God. But as I said before, You could do all those things, but you must understand and acknowledge that He is God. We talked 3 weeks ago when I said, here's the thing, have we made God in our own image? If God is so good and so great and so merciful, why does He allow this to happen or that to happen or these things to happen? I'm sure you've heard it before. I hear it all the time. If God is so good, why would He let this happen? Are you making God into your own image? Is He supposed to come out of some type of lamp and be your genie? Or is He the God of all, the creator of all? Application. What can we do for application with this? Simple. I think we need to continue to be in silence before the Lord. When you take some time today, take some time tomorrow, take some time every day. And I'm not going to tell you how much time to spend because it's not important. What's important is take time and be silent before the Lord. Pray and just be silent before Him. If you only got 2 minutes, 3 minutes to do it, fine. If you got all day to do it, fine. Just have that relationship, that intimacy with Him. Pray His word. But we must understand that as we begin to grow spiritually and be conformed to the image of Christ, our desire will be His desire. And even though the world all around us is crazy and chaotic, we will have feet like deer standing solid on the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ that will last throughout all of eternity.